Hi, everyone. It's Chris. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you're having a great holiday so far. This is part two of the live C4 podcast. Once again, I am joined by Damon Common and John Hoffner. They're pretty great on this one. It gets even better. We talk about a lot of strange stuff, and we bring it always back around to the Cavs. Once again, thanks to Tim Cornette and the Beachland Ballroom and Tavern. And I hope you're having a great Thanksgiving. And if you're not, maybe this show could distract you for maybe a half hour or so. Like I said on the last one, this wrestling podcast I listened to, The Art of Wrestling, had Cole Cabana, had CM Punk on Thanksgiving Day, and it crashed the servers. So let it be known, there's a precedent for releasing podcasts on Thanksgiving, and these guys are the CM Punks of Cleveland comedy. They just left it all behind to go live their own personal lives. Anyways, that's an inside joke nobody's getting. That's fine. Enjoy part two. I'll be back next week with the regular episode, and go Cavs.
Deli is the best. Hey kid, this story I will tell you is about an ordinary guy, just an ordinary fella. He comes from Kangaroo Jack's latitude. If you mess with Deli, you're gonna get the attitude. Oh, but he's wild and he's wonderful. Yeah, Deli's real cool. Deli is the best. Oh, but he's great. Yeah, he's super cool. Don't mess with him. He's got the Deli trays in the haze. Deli is a motherfucking champ. Deli is the best. Deli, Deli, Deli. Deli is the best. Deli is the best. Hey, kids, did you see he wasn't drafted? The Cavs signed him. I can't believe that acted. It was the best time when you see him play. He's gonna do a cool alley-oop to Tristan Thomas today. Oh, but he's wild and he's wonderful. Yeah, he's real cool. Deli is the best. He can shoot, he could lob. Sometimes he misses kind of a lot, but I forgive him. 'Cause he's got the hustle, he's got the muscle. He's a man, he's a machine, yeah. Deli is the best. Everyone. Deli! 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 Deli is the best. Deli is the best. Deli! 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 Deli is the best. Deli is the best. One more time. Deli, 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 Deli. Deli is the best. Deli is the best. Thank you.
We're back live at the Beachland Tavern.
Yeah, listen to this crowd going wild. Oh, totally different
crowd.
They're
going nuts.
Whole new group of people. I'm so glad you guys came out. We had a great crowd last time, and it's great to see a whole new great crowd.
The Chris Clem Cascast prize wheel going.
It's really, yeah. The sound, he just recorded his voice as each of the little.
Yeah, yeah. Just me going. Somebody want a free pack of Jobies.
Actually, you know what? Bee pollen, guys, no joke. It's really great for you. I take it every day. I don't have allergies anymore. All right, just a little.
Guys, I do want to say a warning. If you take too many Joe Bees, you may beat your wife.
Is that a...
That might get cut out, sorry. Yeah. Allegedly.
It says
allegedly.
It on the bottle. It allegedly. Says it on the bottle, to
allegedly.
Be fair.
Allegedly. Just another famous celebrity getting off the hook.
Talking about RZA?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
It's
what other local radio hosts should
It's Joe good be? To be the wife.
No actual guest will ever come on this show, and I wonder why. All right. So as the real topic, we promise we're talking about LeBron James sidekicks. I know you guys got some takes. We said in the last episode, the Cavs are the most talented, probably the three best players in Cavs history on the team at one time.
Right now.
It's a good time to be a fan.
It's. I mean, I've never been this confident. Even when LeBron was here the first time, there was still this like, okay, but, you know, kind of feeling to it. And this time, even last season, I have never been this confident as a Cavs fan. And it really is just insane how much talent we have. And the depth now also. The depth is crazy. This is not my term, but I love using it because I agree with it. The team's a Swiss Army knife right now where you can really use any tool for any job. You can bring out whatever guys you need to match up against the other team. This team, with four players out right now, is still winning games because we are that deep. Andy came in. Everyone forgot Andy was even on this team and starts hitting elbow jumpers and then complaining that he's not getting enough playing time. Where's the playing time going to come from? I don't know. But this team's really good. This team's really good.
Unfortunately, he's going to be getting some playing time for the next 9 to 11 days. So
yeah.
Mozgov's out.
Yeah, shoulder strain. Mm-hmm.
The thing that when you got to consider with the Cavs, in 2010, when LeBron left, their second best player was Mo Williams. In 2015, their seventh best player is Mo Williams.
Mo Williams.
And Mo Williams is probably just as good as he was then.
Yeah, although his eyebrows are better, I got to say. He's a well-groomed man.
He is.
He looks good. He looks good.
I mean, Kyrie's out. Shumpert's out. And they have not even slowed down a hair.
No, I mean, they're playing down to their opponents a little bit, which is kind of their MO, I feel like, over the years. They're not coming out with a lot of intensity in the first half or perhaps in the second half. They seem to kind of just rest on their talent a little bit. But the talent is still so good that it still wins out. That Bucks game was a testament to it. I think they just leaned on their talent, basically.
Are you guys worried about the Warriors? Oh, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
No. I'll answer that. I'm not really. I think because of it, it's easy to have it as an excuse that we were down Love and Kyrie in the finals last year. But despite the fact that we lost, it's hard to not feel like we could still take them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because Love and Kyrie obviously are the biggest reasons, if they're healthy, when we get to the Warriors, if they get to the finals again. But the depth that you were talking about, like, that was my biggest thing I was worried about the whole offseason. Like,
yeah.
Let's get Mike Miller, Brendan Haywood, the bottom of the bench. Let's get warm bodies so, like, if we have to prepare for the worst-case scenario, they look a lot more ready to do
it. And we thought those guys were going to contribute last year. We thought Marion was going to be a great guy to spell LeBron.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that he just couldn't play anymore. And it was a big disappointment.
He started for a month and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he just literally could not play when we absolutely needed him to.
Mike Miller couldn't do anything.
No. And now, I mean, you look at Richard Jefferson, who I would not have put any money on to be any good. And the dude's good. I mean, he's got a nice-looking shot. I mean, he's got some spring in his step. He's still got ups, and he can play some decent defense. I mean, that's all I can ask for if you're trying to, you know, just replace LeBron for a little bit.
After Chandler Parsons got hurt for Dallas, Richard Jefferson started in the playoffs, and he looked like he had nothing left.
Really?
Oh, really?
And I don't know what's happened. I don't care what's happened. Yeah. But whatever he did in the offseason, I'm very happy with.
He still has very strange-looking ears. But other than that, he's been great. He's been great.
I think, and like John was, or you guys were saying other stuff, Mike Polk tweeted that he looks like the creative player in every basketball game before you do anything to him. That's the best description.
Before you add any defining features, he's just a blank
just like
slate.
The medium skin tone and all the facial features being blank.
Right.
And he still has the worst tattoo in the NBA. That yep. RJ on his shoulder.
I'm pretty sure he just, it was like he brought in a notebook from middle school that he scribbled on and was like, here, can you put this on my arm? It's pretty sweet, right? And the tattoo artist was like, no, it's not. But here you go. Sure, why not?
I promise I won't get off topic, but one thing that really bothers
don't
me
make
about,
promises you can't
about,
keep.
Yeah, yeah, I know. About the NBA is these guys are making money, yet they have the worst tattoos of any sports league in the world.
You mean Kenyon Martin's lip tattoo on his neck is a bad tattoo?
That's I mean, not. I'm that's not even not a tattoo guy.
Yeah, no. It's,
I mean, I get it though, because those are Trina's lips. You guys remember oh, her Slip and Slide Records?
I do not. I do not.
Yeah. I'd say what her name was, but there's children present. But let's just say she was the baddest bee.
Joe B.
Joe, she was yeah. the baddest Joe B in the bunch.
Doesn't Kyrie have the Friends logo somewhere?
Yeah, he does.
He
right
does.
On his arm.
Kyrie has a Friends tattoo on his forearm.
He would have loved your Gunther reference.
He's an avid listener, as you know, so he's going to love it. He's already loved it.
He's been begging me to be a guest. I'm like, calm down.
That's on your other Friends podcast, though.
I got a lot of people that want to be guests, Kyrie. You're going to have to take a turn.
He's a Ross guy. I'm a Chandler guy. That's fine. We're always going to have that as a difference between us, but I still love you, Kai. Still love you. Kai, ridiculous.
But the thing is, though, you got to be a tattoo person to have your favorite TV show tattooed on you, no matter how what. Because no matter how much I love Mystery Science Theater, I would not get the guy sitting in the chairs, like, on my forearm.
Chris, I disagree. All you have to be is a 22-year-old with way too much money and no decision-making prowess whatsoever. That would have, absolutely, you would have an MST3000 tattoo on your back. You would have a back piece.
My back would be Space Ghost flexing.
Right. Right. No, that's what, I mean, put yourself in the shoes of any of these basketball players. Be in your early 20s with millions of dollars and international fame, and, you know, you're going to be a horrible person making horrible decisions.
It's amazing any of them get better after their rookie season.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's why he got the Friends tattoo, because every time he, it's like his WWJD, you know, anytime he gets, he just looks in the mirror.
What would Rachel do?
What would Rachel do? Cut her hair.
What do you got on there?
I don't know. Let's see, on my sheet of paper.
All right.
Deli, did you know? I had a section of did you know?
All right. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we got Damon Kamen with did. I always don't know how to pronounce his name.
Just rhyme it. It's just Kamen, say Damon Kamen. Everyone prefers it. You stump. There's always
all those up late with Steve Guy fans. Home is Damon Kamen. What's going on?
Hey, Steve knew what was best for me, and he said, "You rhyme the name. You rhyme the name. It'll be
you okay with Damon Kamen?"
Sure, sure, Damon. You bet. German for woman. So it took me literally. It took me 22 years to figure out that my name is spelled. My first name is spelled Amen with a D in front, because I'm not religious. So.
I don't know why that made me laugh so hard.
Damen? The Germans? Call me Lady Kamen? Yeah? Did you know Deli once wrestled a loose ball away from a crocodile? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know Dion Waiters once ate a basketball and got constipated and vowed to never pass a ball again?
That's actually believable. That's the worst part about that.
He's in the Guinness Book. Look it up.
That's why he became Muslim.
People do know this, but did you know that Deli drank a cup of coffee before every game until it literally almost killed him in the playoffs? It literally almost destroyed him.
Wait, I thought that was just Steph Curry breaking out. Forget the fact that the guy guarding him for 46 minutes was hospitalized for 2 whole days.
Yeah, it's caffeinated deli. Not as good. Or decaffeinated deli. Did you know that Deli's mother plays a game called netball? Which is literally basketball without a backboard. That's all it is, and there's 7 players per team. You can Wikipedia it, and it's true. You all look very confused. I'm not lying to you.
Netball.
Netball. Because there's no back. They can't call it basketball because it's... That's taken.
That's like Hakeem Olajuwon played handball.
Did he?
Yeah, he credited that for all his low post skills.
Yeah, there's not a lot of equipment in handball.
No.
Did you know Christian Ayanga was drafted just because Chris Grant had an unhealthy obsession with the 1994 movie The Air Up There, starring Kevin Bacon and Charles Gatonga Mina?
That's a reference you called last week.
I know. Last week I said that was going to be coming. And that movie was fantastic.
That movie was something else.
Kevin Bacon goes to Africa to recruit a native African with like a spear and everything to come and play college basketball in the States.
Is Kevin Bacon like the Kevin Costner of baseball movies to African basketball movies?
Yep.
I never knew that.
It is. Yeah. .com. Just look that up.
How mad do you think Manute Bol was that they took his life story and didn't give him any credit?
Manute Bol. Manute Bol has too much body for emotion. It takes too long for his emotion to reach his actions. There's this two of his extremities.
Before he's about to move because he's upset, he's already calmed down.
Right. I oughta just not do anything.
My legs haven't started yet.
I got nothing else. I mean, everything else people, well.
No, tell us what Skyanga is up to.
All right, so Christian Ayanga right now, because I know you all want to know, currently plays for Dinamo Sassari of the Lega Basket Series A League. So he's doing just fine.
Did you say Lego Basket?
Lego Basket. He's in the Lego movie.
Is that a
Everything
Nintendo
is
Wii
awesome
game?
For Christian Ayanga.
He's currently playing an old Nintendo Wii with the Wiimote just flicking his wrist over and over again.
And he's hacked it so he can change his own stats in NBA 2K.
Basketball is oddly the one thing they couldn't do a Lego version of. Too many corners.
This time Skyanga gonna take over the NBA for real.
30th overall pick, first round, Chris Grant, smartest guy in the room.
How fat do you think he is now?
He can't be fat. He's playing for Dinamo Sassari of the Lego Basket Series A League. So of course he's in tip top shape because everyone knows that league.
And if you guys have an internet connection right now, I'm sure he's probably playing against Stephen Marbury or some other current former NBA player.
Starberry, please.
Yes.
Don't be so vulgar.
All right, before we close this out, as we were saying, who is your favorite LeBron James sidekick? It doesn't have to be somebody who is good, but just your favorite most underappreciated yeah. Most underappreciated player of the LeBron James era. You're free to say Yuri Welsh, but that might be a popular choice.
First one that pops into my mind is the great Daniel Booby Gibson.
Yeah.
Yep. As boobies tend to pop into your mind. Am I right, guys? Come on. This guy with his boobies in his hair.
Daniel Gibson, for listeners that don't remember, has one NBA-level skill, and that's shooting three-pointers, which is also the skill you can have until you are literally too old to make it up and down the court, has decided to quit and retire to pursue a career as a rap artist.
Oh, sure, as you would. Did you know? I just remembered I have another did you know. Kyrie Irving lives in Daniel Booby Gibson's house. No joke. He bought Booby Gibson's house. Yes, that is actually true.
Westlake, 100%. If any stalkers are listening, I gave you a head start.
I don't think stalkers are listening to a podcast of this kind of caliber.
Yeah. No, it's all very well-adjusted people.
My favorite LeBron sidekick has to be Z, because he's my favorite basketball player of all time on any team, any era. Chris, I know we have this in common. Which is why we don't talk to each other, because it would just be too much for either of us to bear.
I think people got a taste of us when we went on that Bob Holly rant last week. Right.
Last week was so crazy, you guys.
The famous John Hoffman.
I'm still wearing
board.
I'm wearing the same clothes from last week. I haven't gotten over it. Big Z is he's the best. You have any interview, he said very little. He loved taking naps. He had very bad feet, which allowed him to only jump 1 inch off the ground later in his career. Turns out, doesn't need to jump any higher than that. He was just a tremendous human being. And Big Z, if you're listening, because I know you are, I love you, and let's hang out and get a beer sometime.
You know that? If I can somehow get him to be on this podcast, everybody here is invited.
All right, great.
We'll do it at like a pizza place in a back room or something.
Yeah, we'll walk into Chris's studio, and it'll be two mic stands duct taped together to get up to his face.
Hey, I got a double-double last night, and it's real honor to play with LeBron.
If you haven't heard Z talk, he's got a weird accent that doesn't sound like it should for a guy who grew up in Lithuania.
The corners have really been kind of eroded away over time.
Sounds like Forrest Gump plus Barry White.
Yeah, it really doesn't even sound foreign. It just sounds
I'm
like
telling
someone.
You, that's a good impression. I watch out.
You know, Austin Carr, I like playing for the Cavs because I like Cleveland and playing with LeBron. And it's like my family is here.
I love, you know what? It doesn't sound just like your Mozgov impression, but you do a great job with the big men, with the big men impression.
This is my Mozgov.
This is my Mozgov.
No.
Tina Fey Mozgov.
LeBron is nice.
This guy walked in like, what is going on right now? Hey, bud, how's it going?
No,
My favorite, this we'll close on, but my favorite Mozgov memory is when Jimmy Kimmel Live was at the NBA Finals, and they do a segment where Guillermo talks to all the NBA players, and he asked LeBron for an interview. The entire segment, LeBron said no. So then he goes to Mozgov, and he goes, LeBron doesn't like me. And is he a bad person? He goes, no, LeBron's nice. And then he goes, say dinosaur, but he couldn't say dinosaur, and he's like, dano, dano, and he starts laughing, and he says, my English is not too good, and then Guillermo said, my English is not too good, and they both laugh and like have a bro hug.
I was expecting him to go, dano, dano, don't know what we're talking about anymore.
I thought you were going to go, dano, 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 dynamite!
Big fan of JJ.
Good times.
Yeah, he's a big
fan. In Russia. All right, where can people find you guys?
Usually at home, raising children. So just come on and knock on the door. I live in Lyndhurst, Ohio. Or on Twitter, but I don't really, I mean.
I'm on Twitter, too. I'm at Damon Common.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's actually Damon of Common.
I actually have three accounts. One is Jeremy Gridirons, where I'm known as Simon Gruber. The other one is Damon Dogwalker. That's the one I use specifically just for tweeting at Baskin and Phelps and telling them how unfunny they are. And then Damon of Common.
That's harsh but fair.
Is the main one. And just before we sign off, I just want to say, impeach Fred McLeod. Thank you.
Off a rubber rim.
I like Fred. I'm at John
of
Hoffner.
Of course you do. Of course you like Fred. You're at John Hoffner.
Fred is pushing a little too hard this year sometimes. He'll get into a metaphor that he's not prepared to end.
He talks like
he sees all the success that Austin Carr has off of the stuff that just crops up in his brain, and he vomits out into the mic, and he's like, I'm sitting at home writing in a notebook coming up with Kai Ridiculous and throw the hammer down is what people are saying around
he's
the
like,
town. And
Mo Flow will stick this time.
Yeah. He's tired of people yelling Reggae for Life as he's walking down the street. By the way, he's like 5'1". He's a very small man.
And his voice, his real voice, is nothing like his announcer voice. He kind of talks like this when he's just talking. He was on the Alan Cox show, and he did an interview, and I didn't know it was Fred McLeod till he said, I'm Fred McLeod at the end, because I was just flipping through the radio. It's like, yeah, it's going to be a good time with the Cavs, good game, and I really like following the team. I've been a big fan. I grew up in Strongsville. I'm Fred McLeod. Thank you.
On the radio, of all places, he doesn't use that
voice.
Yeah,
right.
Like, it must take a lot out of him to be like, off the rubber rim!
I mean, to be fair, every time I've heard him in an interview, I hear his dogs barking in the background, and he has to constantly apologize for him. And that's when I was like, all right, Fred, I feel a little bad for you now, and I'll stop making fun of you.
And then you immediately
except then I went on this podcast.
And then you immediately tweeted at him for your dog walking services.
Well, you know, you got to keep church and state separate, so I use that for the Jeremy Gridirons one where no one knows me.
He's been trying to make, like, the Fred McLeod drinking game, but I think after the second quarter, if you did a shot every time you said rubber rim, you'd be dead. So, all right, everybody, that's it for the Chris Clemens Cavscast Live.
Yeah!
Give it up for my guests, John Hoffner, Damon Kamen.
Yeah.
I'm Chris Clem. Fred McLeod, I'm sorry we've been making fun of you on like the last five episodes, but it probably will not end anytime soon. Check me out. You already know who I am if you're listening to this. So thank you, everybody who showed up in person. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Clem's Cavs Cast, everybody.
Thanks, Tim Cornette.
Thank you. Keep it going for him.
Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.